And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, as the years go by, I'm just amazed that Satan has not fully won over the entire world. And the Bible says that Satan is God of this world. That's a small g now. He's not the big God with a big G, but he has been allowed to have a certain reign of authority in the last days, and there's no doubt that he rules over the nations of this earth. Now, God lifts leaders up and he puts them down. And it seems that that's why we have so many base leaders, really crumbs, in office, because God allows these crumbs to go high. You know, I was recently reading a book called Ponerology, Political Ponerology, P-O-N-E-R-O-L-O-G-Y, by Andrew Lobachewski. And this book talked about the fact that there are so many psychopaths leading world governments. And that's why they don't care about death and suffering. Now, Jimmy Carter was in Austin, Texas, just this last week. He and all of the retired presidents and Barack Obama, the current president, spoke at the LBJ School and Presidential Library at the University of Texas campus. And Jimmy Carter had something very interesting to say. You know, the man, I can understand why he's not welcome at the Democratic Party's conventions. In fact, he's not welcome hardly anywhere on the campaign trail. He is a liberal, but he's not their kind of liberal. You know what I mean? First of all, when I ask about Hillary Clinton, he said, well, I don't know of anything that she's done in her whole life that she could brag about. She has no achievements as Secretary of State. She was Secretary of State over 4 years for Obama, and Hillary Clinton has nothing to say for it. I mean, she did mess up on Benghazi, and the ambassador and three other gentlemen were killed there. But she has no achievements anywhere in the world as Secretary of State. But she wants to be president. Well, she was the first lady at the White House for 8 years, and Bill Clinton didn't have any achievements either. He did bomb an aspirin factory in the Sudan. He bombed innocent civilians in Kosovo and Yugoslavia. And, of course, he did not have anything to do with that woman, Monica Lewinsky, right? Well, Hillary was spending her time, you know, getting rid of all the bimbos that were trailing her husband. And she was the one that gave the order, we now know, for the people at Waco, David Koresh, and the others, to be torched, to be murdered. In her words, she said, torch the MFers. I think you know what the word stands for. Torch them. And we did. And we covered it all up. Oh, it's going to be a pitiful United States if she wins the presidency. But she probably will. Now, I want to talk to you today about what is really going on in the world. You know, most people I talk to don't have, I mean, honestly, they're just ignorant. They're just stupid. And I ask myself, can this many people in America be that dumb? And I have to answer, yes, they can be. Now, I thank God for you, the listeners of Power of Prophecy, because you understand much of what's going on in the world. It seems that God has opened up our eyes and our ears to understanding. The Bible often talks about this verse or that verse, this prophecy, being for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Well, we all have eyes and ears, don't we? Most of us. And we all think we can hear and see quite well. But evidently, most of us can't, because it says if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you can understand these things. But there are parables. I remember one parable Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, then you won't understand any of his parables. That's the parable of the seed. Well, every time I turn on TV, I see another prosperity preacher that doesn't understand the parable of the seed. And in world affairs, it seems that Americans are just, as they say in Mexico, they're los estúpidos, the stupid ones. Now, thankfully, I'm not putting you in that category. I think I see my mail and I see the people that write to me, and you're very smart. I have doctors and I have lawyers and I have plumbers and carpenters and, street workers and, now, I don't mean street workers. I don't mean in terms of the bad. I mean, that construction people. I suppose I do have a couple street walkers. I'm not sure about that. But if they listen to this program, they're searching for something, for truth. So I thank God for them too. Now, I want to explain to you what has been happening actually ever since World War II. But it has been so well designed, so enthusiastically carved out as a strategy that I'm just amazed that I listen to all of these talk shows on TV, the Bill O'Reilly Factor and the Hannity show and goodness, well, you don't even talk about Meet the Press or MSNBC or CNN, because those are all junk shows. Those guys don't know anything anyway. But there is a specific strategy being used in the whole world, and, as you will discover, in the United States of America. This is a strategy that has been used since World War II in particular. But its roots go all the way back to the beginning of the 20th century. It's a strategy called destabilization. Destabilization. Now, we all talk about a World War III coming someday, an Armageddon, and an Antichrist. It is believed this Antichrist will rule the world. It is believed that he is a great statesman. People will believe in him. They will just say, what a genius this man, what a great world statesman he is. They will believe in what he says. But if not, he will have the tools, the military and diplomatic tools, to overcome. He will overcome all who go against him. But the only ones who go against him will be Christians. Believing, awakened Christians. Now notice I said believing, awakened Christians. There are many Christians who are not believers, not really. Or let's just say they're nominal Christians. Because you really can't be a Christian unless you believe in Jesus Christ. But it doesn't mean you're going to believe in all the world affairs and the strategy of the devil. Because the devil has had many hundreds of years, even several thousand years, to plot out this strategy. That's why I believe most people don't understand the strategy of destabilization. But it's being used all around the world today, and it's being used right here in America, the destabilization process. It's being used to take over and conquer the entire world. Now, the United States has become the world's greatest dictator power. Now, we still have some freedom, some liberties. Why do we still have them? Well, I don't know. It's up to God to give us what he wants us to have. But I believe our liberties are going to be slammed down and we're going to be thrown to the canvas very soon. And it can happen almost overnight, and it can happen so imperceptibly over a long period of time that you don't even know it's happening till finally you find yourself in what we would call velvet chains. They may be velvet, but they can hold you just as tightly. They can grasp your waist, your neck, your ankles. They can hold you fast and prevent you from doing what you want to do and what you should do. Velvet chains. Now, America thinks it's an exceptional nation. Why? We have more freedoms than anybody else. We have liberty and democracy. Why? We have the Statue of Liberty, and we have the Bill of Rights, and we have the Constitution. But, you know the end of that, don't you? The judges today mostly are Jewish, and all the way up to the Supreme Court, they don't really believe in the Constitution. As George W. Bush once said, it's just a piece of paper. They believe that you should do whatever the government tells you to do, and they don't really care what an old person named Thomas Jefferson or George Washington or Benjamin Franklin once said on pieces of paper. Why? They're so much smarter than our founding fathers. I mean, Hamilton and, you know, John Adams and all the rest, I mean, they don't hold a candle to today's Charles Schumer's and Nancy Pelosi's. And, of course, there's all the Republican rhinos, Republicans in name only. I don't even call them rhino anymore because actually they are Republicans. They're the same as the Democrats. There's really no basic difference. They just want to deceive you. Vote for me this time as a Republican, and it'll look like we're changing America, but we'll give you the same Stalinist tune. We'll feed you communism and socialism, but you'll glorify it and think it's okay because, you know, it came from the hands of Republicans. I mean, after all, George W. Bush was president of the United States for 8 years, and he gave us a bunch of unconstitutional garbage. I mean, even the U.S. Senate recently put out a report that said our whole system of national defense was based on torture and murder and secret concentration camps run by the CIA. And, of course, the FBI and the U.S. Army and all the other agencies were in there somewhere along the line. Yes, they tortured. Yes, they did more than even the water torture, as bad as that was. Yes, they raped little boys in front of their mothers. Then they raped the mothers. Then they killed the fathers. It's all on videotape, and it's been seen in the White House by George Bush and his Secretary of State, Powell, and all of these people would get together and watch these things for fun. They would watch snuff films filmed at Abu Ghraib and watch it. They would see it on television, closed-circuit television, people being tortured. Now the Senate report comes out and says, yeah, we did all that stuff and much more. Of course, most of the information is what they call redacted, which means we blacked it out. We took our magic markers and blacked it all out. We're only going to tell you about 1/10 of what we were doing over there. in all those nations where we had secret concentration camps. And then they acted like closing down Guantanamo was going to be such a big, big deal. Hey, we have about 30 secret concentration camps around the world. Jimmy Carter, I started to say earlier, was at the LBJ Library. He said it directly. America is the biggest torturer and murderer. We're the biggest. Let me just put what he exactly said. We're the number one warmonger in the whole world. We have been ever since Jimmy Carter left office. Now, Ronald Reagan wasn't too big on this stuff, but they conned him into a lot of it, too. A lot of stuff was going on. He didn't even know what was happening. But after he left office, then the senior Bush got in, and I mean the torture and the CIA and all the trash and the NSA and all these things that they're doing now started in earnest. Bill Clinton hastened their arrival, and George W. Bush was just a blithering idiot moron who went along with it. The freedoms we have in America are an apparent set of freedoms. Jimmy Carter knows that. He opened his mouth to tell the truth about the Palestinians and Israel, and they shut him up. Shut up, Mr. President. Now, destabilization. What is destabilization? When you have a stable situation, everything is running pretty good. It doesn't mean you have prosperity, everything's great, the country's rich, there's a constitution, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't necessarily mean that, but it means things are running on an even keel. Things are all right. But when you have terrorist activities in a nation, and when certain parties get in with big money and they buy up the media, and they start spouting propaganda and lies, and when they set up organizations designed to take over the political process, and when they fake the vote count and the voting is crooked and rigged, then destabilization is this process that takes over and the country's systems begin to be putrid and rigged and dirty. And things just go downhill. You know, if you have a system in which you go down and apply for a new business or whatever, and you pay the license fee or whatever it takes to start the business in your hometown or your county, and they process it, you know, and they go, it's processed in an appropriate amount of time, and pretty soon you're in business. You have freedom. You're making money, hopefully. That's a free society. But what happens if at every step of the way in the business you want to go into, they put up a roadblock? If you want to get water for your business, well, you're going to have to pay a little bit of money under the table. There's a water commissioner. He needs money. Yeah. And, of course, there's people who have the electricity power, and they're not going to give you electricity unless you put up a little money. And then the mayor and the city councilman, to operate, you got to get permission, and you're going to build on a certain lot or whatever you're building or whatever you know you're going to do. And why, that's going to take a permit from the city, isn't it? Now, they could take 20 years to okay your permit, or they could take 20 minutes. It depends on how much money you have. And you're hit with every kind. Pretty soon you realize, no, that this is not a free society. This is a corrupt place. Now, when I was a young man, I saw systems like that. I went in the U.S. Air Force, and they sent me overseas, over to Asia. And I saw those Asian countries and saw the crookedness, the corruption. And I looked in the mirror and said, boy, I sure am glad it's not like that in America. It's free in America. Everybody has a right to do whatever they want to do, as long as you don't do something, you know, wrong or that's going to harm people. I didn't know it's, you know, that everything is rigged. Now, You can't even start an organization to tell people the truth without the IRS getting in and putting up roadblocks. You've seen what they've done to these people that ask for 501c3 status. That's why we don't have 501c3 status here. They started playing games with us about, what, I think 15 years ago. You can't say this, you can't say that, you can't criticize the government, you can't say anything bad about Hillary Clinton, you've got to be a little good boy. I told them take their 501c3 and just, you know, put it where the sun don't shine. Go, go, I don't want this. Well, your people, they won't give to you, says the IRS. They want a tax break. I said, no, you're wrong. The people who listen to Power of Prophecy Radio, who get Power of Prophecy products, our videos, our books, our audio tapes and CDs, they don't give us money here because they want a tax break. They do it out of love for this ministry. Love for the truth. I know your heart, folks, and you know mine.
Well, we're one heart.
I said, no, our people don't give to get a tax break. They give because it's the right thing to do. The IRS says you'll never be able to survive without tax breaks. Now you're going to pay taxes on the building that you own. You're going to have to pay taxes on the products that you sell. We're going to put you out of business, they said. And I just looked them in the face and said, you want to bet? You see, the IRS was thinking that we were somebody else. We were one of these churches or groups that had to have 501c3 status. That we had, you know, if we had to pay taxes, we couldn't make it. We shouldn't have to pay taxes. We should not have to, but we do. Why do we? So we can say whatever we want. So we can do whatever's right in God's eyes. And they have no right to tell us what we can say and can't do. I had the IRS agent here sit right in front of my desk and say, Mr. Morris, what gives you the authority to say, and he's, you know, this or that? He mentioned the Masonic Lodge. Who gave me the authority to expose the Masonic Lodge? Or the Vatican, the Catholic Church? Who gave me the right to say something negative about the Catholic Church? How dare me? I said, well, this Bible right here I've got. Would you like me to read the parts in the Bible that tell me I have the authority? No. I don't want to hear that Bible, said the IRS agent. Well, the Bible's the only thing I've got, and it's the authority. He looked at me, and he almost, you know, fell over in his chair. I don't need any other authority. I don't need the IRS telling me I can or can't preach on certain subjects. He thought he would frighten me. How could I possibly be preaching on things the IRS had not approved? Because I wasn't about to go through some destabilization process. If I had done what the IRS said, then everybody would get their tax breaks. Why? I wouldn't even have to give you know, if I get a salary, I wouldn't have to pay a lot of taxes on it. I'd get, you know, subsidies from the government. I might even get a loan or a grant from the government. Well, let me tell you, folks, we've been here in Austin, Texas, preaching on the airwaves, sending out our materials, talking about God and this country since we started in 1986. Now, what is that? 28 years. Oh, a little over 28 years. I haven't yet accepted one penny from the government. And I won't. I have never received a grant from any church, from any denomination. And I won't. They want to destabilize you. I remember early on in the ministry when Bill Clinton and Al Gore was elected vice president, Bill Clinton was president.
had a man, and he wrote to him, and he said, you know, Al Gore is a wonderful Southern Baptist, and I'm a Southern Baptist, and I'm a giver to your ministry. I don't like what you said about Al Gore. You know where you said he wrote that book, Earth in the Balance, where he said that he worshiped the goddess? Well, that was just, you know, silly stuff. He's a real good Baptist. I want you to support him. And if you support him, I'll continue to send you love gifts. I didn't answer the guy's letter. And the very next month, I had the feature article on Al Gore. And I exposed the fact that he was a nature worshiper, an environmental freak, a one-worlder, and an idiot to boot. Boy, that just tore that guy up. He was a big supporter of Al Gore. And he said, I'm finished with you, Tex Mars. I said, well, good. Go support Al Gore. Go support that group over there. I'm going to do what God tells me to do, and I don't care about your money. Now, we do need money, but we don't need that kind of money. What do you think, folks? He wanted to destabilize this ministry. He wanted to tie our hands. He wanted to have the authority to tell us what we could or could not preach. But I insist on the authority from God to tell you the truth. And I would like for you, as my friend and co-sharer in this ministry, to let me know that that's what you want. And then you and I are going to get along real good, more than anybody else does, because we're going to have the same heart. We're going to have the same mind. We're not going to be destabilized. We're going to be going right on down the, you know, we're like that train that's got all his engine going, and the engineer knows where he's going, and the track's in good shape, and they put the firewood in, they roll right on down. The little engine that could. That's what we are. We're the little engine that can. I remember a pastor friend I had. How much are you going to charge for your newsletter? I said, well, I'm not going to charge anything. You should charge $25, $30 a year for it. I said, no, I'm not going to charge anything. He said, you're going to be out of business before you know it. And he laughed at me. I laughed too. 28 years, I've never charged a penny for our newsletter. It's free. And that man was kicked out of his church for stealing from the church. Well, I've never been kicked out of anything for stealing or anything else. Of course, the IRS, you know, they weren't successful either in closing us down. We just said, okay, we can't say that it's 501c3, then take your 501c3. We're going to continue right along. We're not going to change anything. We're going to have fun. We're not going to be destabilized. Now, when we come back in a moment, I'm going to tell you about the New World Order Destabilization Program. They want to take away people's ability to function. That's what they're doing in the world. This is what the United States is doing over in the Middle East. That's what we've done in Lebanon, Palestine, Somalia, Yemen, Libya, Iraq, Egypt, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and now we're doing it to the Ukraine. And Syria and Iran are next. And the United States is today being destabilized by our own government. We are being destabilized. And I'll tell you just how they're doing it in a moment. This is their plan, the plan of the New World Order plotters. It is not to democratize the Middle East. We never intended to bring democracy over there. It's to destabilize them, to take away all of their strengths, and to make them into weak, pitiful, incompetent slugs that we control. We in Israel, of course. Destabilization. That's what they want, and they're getting it. And in just a minute, I'm going to tell you exactly how they're doing it. Stay with us, won't you? I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello again, friends. This is Tex Mars. You know, a friend of this ministry sent me a long newspaper article, a great newspaper article. And I read, as I do most things, just ferociously. I tell you, I'll just read and read and read. till the wee hours of the morning and keep up with everything that's going on. And this one talked about this article. The man had really studied the area of robots and robotics. And he said that the robots seemed perched and they were ready to take over much of the United States and the world. He said they're going to do it in the job market. And of course, you know, you tell a businessman you can save money or make money this particular way, and he's going to go that way. And certainly, businesses are making money with robots. Robots are doing the jobs that people used to do. And in the future, there's going to be hundreds of career fields that are put out of business, just snuffed out by robots. Now, I know you probably think that a robot couldn't do your job. Maybe you're a writer. Did you know they now have robots that write articles? They write the weather reports. They write all kind of articles. How can they do it? Well, you train a robot by programming its mind on certain topics. And when news comes in, you just give him the news and he funnels it all out and churns it out. And he puts out the articles. And they're published. Who knew there would be robot journalists? But they have them. In fact, somebody says in a few years, they'll be vying for the Pulitzer Prize in literature. Well, you know, why not the Nobel Prize? The Peace Prize? I mean, we've already had idiots like Barack Obama, who just got in office and had done nothing, got it. Why couldn't we give the Nobel Peace Prize to a robot? Well, anyway, they're going to take over jobs. Millions of jobs around the planet. The immigration issue is going to go away. I'll tell you, it's going to all go away. That'll be 10 or 15 years. Why would Mexicans come here to get a job when there will be no jobs? Well, they will be coming here to sell us dope, marijuana, cocaine, heroin. Because all these sluffers and slackers out there that aren't working, they need something to occupy their mind, so give them the hard drugs. That's what the elite are going to do. Take the useless eaters and give them marijuana. Then give them cocaine, methamphetamine. We're going to have a whole nation of drug addicts, friends. And there's more women right now. Listen to this. There's more women receiving food stamps than there are women on the work rolls. That was a new statistic. Just came out. Think about that. More women receiving food stamps from the federal government and the states than there are women who work. Wow. Why can't robots replace these slackers? They can, and they will. We're going to have robot teachers, robot professors, robot iron workers, robot mechanics, robot carpenters, robot painters, robot hamburger makers. And you know, I wrote about this in my book, Robot Alchemy. It's a new book. I think it's a tremendous book. I want you to have a copy of this book for $30. Add $5 shipping and handling, a total of $35. We will send you Robot Alchemy. Robot Alchemy. It's a beautiful book. There are many dozens of photos, hundreds of photographs, up-to-date technology. You'll see the robots of yesterday, today. You'll see the researchers working with the robots. And some of them are amazing. They can dance. They can walk. They can speak. Some are buying robots for, goodness gracious, bed partners. They say the robots don't say no. They don't argue. I guess if that's your inclination, go ahead. It's a shame. Certainly not what God intended, is it, folks? It's not. Robot Alchemy. I hope you'll get this book and tell other people about it, won't you? Tell people. You can go to Amazon.com and buy it, but you can also buy it from us and help this ministry as we continue to get out a message. Now, the reason I wrote this book is I wanted everybody to know what was happening in the field of robots, because it's going to get big. These aren't play toys. These aren't things from some Star Trek or Star Wars movie. These are real robots. Why do I call it robot alchemy? Because robot alchemy means witchcraft. It's a big word meaning witchcraft. And there is witchcraft involved. There is demonology involved. It's subtle. It seems like this is all high tech, but beneath the surface, something is happening horrible in the field of robotics. Now, I'm no stranger to robotics. I've been writing on this subject for, well, talk about this ministry being 28 years old. I suppose I've been writing for about 30 years or more on robots. I was the first person in the world to write a book called The Personal Robot Book. I wrote a book called Careers with Robots over 20 years ago. And I would tell people about my books, and they would just sort of smile. Really? A book about robots? Now when I tell them this book is about robots taking over the world, they go, oh, come on. You're kidding me. Well, they say that because they're ignorant. You know, I don't mind ignorant people. Now, if you're an ignorant person, you're just out there, that's okay. If you're a world leader, though, you're a cretin. You're a danger. You're a psychopath. But if you're just a person out there trying to make it like everybody else, you haven't read up about robots, I want you to know about them. That's why I wrote this book. For you, my good friends. You tell me things, I tell you things. Isn't that a good thing, Jerry? My friends out there, they give me letters. I get letters all the time from people. They send me material I've never seen before from little newspapers in Pocatello, Idaho, and, you know, Tupelo, Mississippi. I receive all kinds. And they'll tell me things that happen in their communities that the press won't report on. Folks, don't think we have freedom of the press in America. It's mostly been shut off. The only thing you're going to do is get on the internet and you can find a lot of the news. I read the Drudge Report every day. I read Rents.com every day. I go to Infowars.com every day. Is everything there stuff that I can count on? No. Do they also feed me lies? They try to. I also read the Washington Post, the New York Times. There's where you really get the lies and the propaganda. I just want to laugh at their stuff. Nobody trusts that anymore. Nobody trusts MSNBC, CNN, ABC, CBS. I mean, none of those. That's all just trash. But sometimes I listen to it for background noise. A little background noise. Sometimes I listen to CBS and ABC news so I'll know what kind of nonsense they're trying to spread. I say, so that's their line. Now, that's the party line. The political party. And there's only one political party. It's a party of money and war and destabilization. Robot alchemy. Here's how to get your book. Just write to us with a money order or check or cash. Send it to Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com. Powerofprophecy.com. And you can get this book. In fact, you'll see all my books there. My newest book is DNA Science and the Jewish Bloodline. It's available, as is Robot Alchemy. And all of our new tapes and videos are also there. Finally, you can phone us. And you don't even have to pay for the phone call. 1-800-234-9673. Now let's return to my regular program. I think Jerry's over there at the computer working this program today. And he's got a little problem. He's been sick for several days with some kind of a flu. He just left the room. I'm sorry I don't have the music on for you. But he'll be back in just a minute. Today's a real program. Jerry's over there half sick. Well, bless his heart. You know, this is a terrible week here at Power Prophecy Ministries. I have a gout in my knee. I can barely walk. Sandra Her mom passed away this week, and I spoke at the funeral service. I was very pleased to do that. Her mother was Jerry. Do you remember Jerry? She worked for us here at the ministry for many years until she retired. Jerry's passed away. I know she's in heaven. And she told me she was going to heaven. But she trusted Jesus as her Savior. And she's in heaven, Jerry, Sandra's mother, who works for us here. And then Jerry came down. This is the male Jerry. He came down with a flu bug. And I usually tell people, don't be here. Don't get all of us sick because you're sick. I want to give you the time off to take. But I guess he felt like, you know, he's very conscientious and wanted to get things done. And then in the midst of all this, and the day before the funeral this weekend, Michelle's husband, Joe, had a massive heart attack. He's at home now, and she's, you know, calling him several times a day to try to make sure he's okay. But he was taken to the hospital, and, oh, they wheeled him in there and put in stents and all kind of stuff. So we've had heart attacks and not a death, but a passing away to heaven this week. And folks have had been sick, and I've had the gout and other ailments. And, you know, it's a time like this when the devil sends you, you know, brickbats, that you take those brickbats and hit him back over the head. Is that the way you feel about it? You do. Well, let's talk about the destabilization program. Now, this is a global plan, and every government in the world that fails to buckle in and join the New World Order is going to get the treatment. Rogue nations are first isolated, then the process of destabilization ensues. What is destabilization? You know, if you make a nation so that there's so much trouble and turmoil and chaos going on in that nation, so much trouble, then its economy will fail. Its military will fail because the morale is horrible. And the soldiers can't make up their mind whose orders to take. Should it be this faction or that faction? Now, the United States and Israel both send in spies into various nations. And we will work for years inside a nation to destabilize it. Now, to conquer a nation, you do not need to send in all your military hour and just destroy it. What have you achieved? Well, for one thing, you're going to lose a lot of troops yourself. There's going to be a certain, you know, loss that you suffer as the invader. At the same time, it's going to cost you an incredible amount of money to carry on a war. And many nations have become broken by the cost of pursuing a war against an enemy. Now, we saw a better way because in World War II particularly, the Soviet Union was very clever how they did things. They went in nation after nation after the German Nazis fell. And in all those nations, mainly in the Baltic nations, but also the Eastern European nations, such as Romania, Poland, Czechoslovakia, and so on, they planted governments that they knew were doomed to failure. But if you can have a government that's a rotten government, that's corrupt, that fails, that's better than defeating a nation. If you can destabilize it, bring chaos and turmoil, so the people are much poorer and poverty-stricken than they were previously, and there's no democracy, there's no freedom, and the people are fighting each other. What you want to get is different groups fighting each other. You want internal dissension. This is what you need. You don't want a strong government. You want a weak government. You want a government that one little faction supports, the rest of them are all fighting against. And the plan is not to democratize the Middle East, but to cause inner strife and destabilization. This is what Israel has done to Palestine. They went into Palestine in 1948, the Khazar Jews, and they immediately began to take over one village after another, one farm and one business after another. And they never gave the local people nothing. No food, no aid, no help, chaotic, no medical system at all, no education system. And every time they got something going in a certain town or village in Palestine, among the Palestinians, well, the Israelis would come in with their tanks and their armored personnel carriers and tear down the buildings, tear up the medical clinics, bomb and strafe the hospitals. So they had a continued policy of destabilization. They did the same thing to their next door neighbor, Lebanon. Lebanon in the 50s was called the Switzerland of the Mediterranean. It was a beautiful country, beautiful clear beaches and waters on the Mediterranean there, huge towering hotels, sky rises. And then they started strife. And then they started arming different terrorist groups. And then they began to fight each other, this group against that group. Soon chaos ensued, and today what do we have? I don't know, 20 different factions in Lebanon. And every time one faction gains too much power, Israel runs in and arms and sends money to all the other factions so they can fight it. So there's continual strife, backbiting, fighting, and corruption going on in Lebanon. Lebanon will never be a power again. This is what happened in Libya a couple years ago. Why, Gaddafi was too powerful. He had a central government. He was giving people important things, education. He was making money from his oil, and he was sharing it with the people. And cities were growing. And people were being educated. And Libya was going to be an example of a great Muslim country that was prosperous and rich. The powers that be couldn't take that. The United States and Europe and Israel all got together and invaded. What did they invade for? No reason. Gaddafi was doing everything we told him to do. We accused him of having nuclear weapons. He did not have nuclear weapons. But the American press and the American Jews and our president said, oh, look, Libya's a dangerous country. Oh, they could bring about World War III. They could bring nuclear bombs to America. They could send mushroom clouds over U.S. cities. We've got to do something. I mean, Libya doesn't have the same people that the state of Idaho has. There's more people in the state of Mississippi than are in Libya. It's mostly a desert country full of oil. That's all it's got. But we bombed and strafed the airfield, not only their military in going after Gaddafi, but all of their oil fields. You know what that meant? More money for oil men. The oil from Libya is not coming out on those big tankers anymore. That means we can raise our money. There's less oil. There's a shortage of oil now. In every nation that has oil, if we will go in and bomb it and strafe it and cause chaos and cause destabilization, then our oil companies will get richer and richer. For some 25 years, we did not allow Iraq to sell all of its oil. Our oil men could not go there and build oil wells for them. We couldn't pull oil out of the ground. We couldn't produce it. Our oil rig companies that had the big, you know, all the equipment, the parts, we couldn't sell it to them. So they limped along the best they could. Finally, we overthrew Saddam Hussein. We hung him, literally hung him. And now they're fighting each other, and every weekend you hear about another 30 or 50 or 100 people being killed in some bomb attack in Baghdad or some other city. We're even supporting the Al-Qaeda there to fight the government. There's turmoil, crisis, and crooked elections. They're fighting each other. But the oil we've taken over. Our oil companies own all of Iraq's oil. Meanwhile, they're fighting for all the dribble, what's left. We've gone into Somalia, Yemen, naturally Iraq, And Egypt is a nation of almost 100 million people. And Mubarak fell with our assistance, and now they're just rioting, burning up buildings, fighting in the streets. The army's in control. There's no democracy in Egypt. And we support the Muslim Brotherhood. Oh, well, we don't anymore. Now the Muslim Brotherhood is, well, their leader, Morsi, is in the dock. He's on trial. Well, wasn't he the guy we supported last year? Well, that was last year. Every year we're going to support a new guy because we got to have destabilization. Egypt will never get better. Destabilization. If one guy won't kiss our boots of the United States and Israel, we'll just kill him and move on. We did that to Sadat. And Mubarak just got old and we said it's time for somebody new. He was taken out. And now the army's in control, but who will be tomorrow? We don't care. As long as the government is destabilized, it pleases us. We tried to do that in Iran. We sent in all kind of organizations. The National Endowment for Democracy. All kind of groups we sent in with millions of dollars. And by the way, we don't send in our military anymore. Often we'll send in these mercenary groups, like Blackwater. The Mossad sends in all its spies. And we start bombing and send terrorists in there. We fund all kinds of groups. We don't care whether a group is right wing or left wing. We'll fund it if it'll cause trouble. That's what we've been doing for 10 years in Ukraine. Victoria Nuland of the State Department is running our operation for Ukraine. She told one group, she was flat out, she said, we've spent over $10 billion in Ukraine to take it from Russia. And now it's nothing but a big debt-riddled hulk. Doesn't have any money. The guy who was president has been kicked out of office. He won two elections, fair elections, supervised by global organizations. They said they were honest elections. No sooner had he gotten office than we started raising trouble, paying other groups. And we paid the world's press to say, oh, he's a crook. The guy had barely got started. We said, oh, no, he's not going to be any good. He's going to be a bad person. We need a free government there. So if there are constitutional elections, they won't be any good after 6 months. In Pakistan, we paid for Musharraf and other people to get in there. And when a woman tried to run for office, and we saw that she was going to be popular and win, and she would not be on our side, we assassinated her. That's Pakistan. Syria, Assad did our bidding for many years. Then we decided, you know, Assad is not as good as nobody. There's too much stabilization there. The country is too stable. It's too strong. We're going to have to send it through a process of destabilization. We're going to have to wreck it, make it an absolute wreck. That's what we did. Who did we send in? Well, most of them were the terrorists that we had used against Gaddafi over in Libya. We sent them into Syria. Then we started screaming that Assad, the president, was using chemical weapons against his own people. Oh, he's a monster. We've got to get rid of him. Who are we going to put in? These monster terrorists? These Al-Qaeda? People that we're paying for? We have set up training camps in Jordan next door, and they're the ones trying to overthrow the country. We're supporting Al-Qaeda, but it doesn't matter. Tomorrow we'll be against Al-Qaeda. That's what we did in Afghanistan. When the Russians had Afghanistan, had conquered it, we paid the other faction to go fight them. And now that we're in there, we're paying other factions. when we leave, do you think they're going to have democracy in Afghanistan? Are we going to leave that with a... And that's what Bush said. That's what we're doing. We're setting it. We're nation building. We're going to set up a democracy. Do you really think we're going to have a democracy in Iraq, in Afghanistan? Now, Iran has a semblance of democracy. They have the Ayatollahs that run the country, but they do have a president. It was President Ahmadinejad for a while. We said he was a Hitler. He's another Hitler. He's gonna destroy the whole world. Well, the guy lost elections. Hitler lost an election. He's out. Shows we're a blithering bunch of liars. And we kept saying Ahmadinejad wants nuclear weapons. He's going to get nuclear weapons. He's already got nuclear weapons. He's coming. What is he going to do? Strap it to his back and swim over here? He ain't got anything to bring it over here. Come on, guys. They're just trying to scare the American people. As Jimmy Carter said, we're the number one warmongering nation in the world. We, the United States. We're not a democratic nation. Now listen to me. I only have a couple more minutes. I'm trying to tell you something here. Our role in the New World Order is to be the number one destabilizer in the whole world. We don't need to conquer a nation entirely to win. We put in a crippled, beat up, train wreck leadership, and they continue to fight each other, and they get weaker and weaker and weaker. Soon they break up into pieces, and they continue fighting each other, and we've won. That's how you win. And they're doing this to the United States of America. They are destabilizing our country. What do you think they're doing here in the United States? Think about it, friends. What is Big Brother government all about? What is the NSA doing spying on us? Why are they giving arms to the Postal Department, the U.S. Postal Service? They're arming them. Why are they buying up millions of hollow shell bullets and weapons? Why are they, is the FBI going around to gun shows finding out what people think? Is there anybody here who's against the government? Well, yeah, everybody's here against the government. Everybody's there against the government. Against crooked government, wicked government, undemocratic government, a government that intends to destabilize America, and then we will be a pitiful giant. They want to destabilize America. They want the Tea Parties to fight the other groups. They want this group to fight that group. They want us all to kill each other. They want the blacks to hate the whites. They pay the blacks. They pay black organizations. They put black professors in position. Who do you think is paying Al Sharpton? Al Sharpton is an idiot and a monster who doesn't care anything for anything but money. That's why Barack Obama went to his conference. I'm trying to tell you, friends, they want to destabilize America. They own the media. They're going to lie to us, propagandize us. And everyone is worried that Americans are going to rebel. We're going to say, we want to secede. We want out of this. They're destabilizing us. We too are being destabilized, destroyed. Losing our democracy, having inner strife. We've got to stop this process of destabilization. We have to stick together against them. Who are them? It's the elite. It's the government. It's the Congress. It's the president. It's these organizations. It's Wall Street. It's the rich versus us. There's more of us, friends. We can win. I'm Tex Mars. This has been Power of Prophecy. Been great to be with you, and my prayer is that you will tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.